for combating this virus, we find ourselves kind of alone, and it's in this kind of moment that we kind of we can kind of embrace the personal relationship that we have with God, and embrace the fact that He is, He is all that we could ever want. He's all that we would ever need. He's providing for us even as we walk. I think sometimes, and we'll probably talk about this more as we go on, we talk about these words being alone and in darkness, but in a lot of ways we think of these as kind of like frightening terms or not things that we want, but the fact is, God is in this alone time. God is in this darkness with us. And so, that's just a place where we can kind of meet the psalm personally and kind of find that space for us personally.
Yeah, when we were talking about this, we were talking about that personal nature of this psalm. It's really in the Old Testament, the children of Israel tended to think of themselves corporately. But this psalm has a very individualistic aspect to it. But there's a corporate aspect to it, too, because it's the shepherd, it's the flock, but each of us individually actually relate to the shepherd also. And when you look at this, it begins with these, I shall not want, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside the still waters. And these are reminders that He provides for us, He cares for us, but it's also a preparation for us. It's getting us healthy. Yeah. It's helping us have this really strong relationship with Him, because in our lives, we do face obstacles. We face difficulties. And the only way to the other side of that difficulty is to go through it.
Sure.
And so the valley of the shadow of death, it's a picture of this shepherd leading the flock, leading this person through the dangers, through a very scary place. Because in ancient Israel, when you would take the flock through a wadi or a ravine or a very narrow valley, there was no light, hardly. It was a very dark place. There's animals there, and they needed the protection of the shepherd. So the rod would be like a club that he would use to fight off the animals. The staff was part of guiding the sheep through there. But even though there were dangers around, even though there was difficulties around, even though we're facing this virus, this pandemic, we're not alone. God is there protecting us, guiding us through it. And so there's this strong impact of this psalm, reminding us that as we have been refreshed by God, as we have nourished our souls through His presence with us, He is still with us. Even though we are alone, we're isolated, we're not alone because God is there with us.
Absolutely. One of the people in history that I'm reminded of is John of the Cross, who was, in the 1400s, 1500s, he was working for reform within his order. He was a monk, and he was imprisoned for these reforms. He was actually imprisoned in complete isolation, in this tiny little room where he was kept for months and months and months in the darkness. And from that, he began just kind of working through, in this moment of this valley in the shadow of death, this trying to connect with God, when your faith is shaken and when you're, even knowing you have a shepherd beside you, I'm sure it's still frightening for sheep to walk through a valley. And so he writes this, this poem, The Dark Night of the Soul, and he talks about this darkness being for him, this searching for him, continuing to kind of connect with God through all of this, as being a happy lot, as being, a happiness for him. One of the verses he says, O guiding night, O night more lovely than the dawn, O night that has united the lover with his beloved and changed her into her love. And it's like there is this this desire. And in a lot of ways, it comes out of this physical, you know, this physical distress that he's going through, this physical aloneness. But for him, you know, this dark night is the pursuit of being one with God and just trying to find God in all of that darkness. And so, you know, that said, you know, that's one of those things that as we're, you know, kind of meditating and thinking on, you know, what this all, you know, what does this time, what do we do with these times? I think that's one of the things that kind of comes is this desire to kind of connect, you know, kind of connect with God in these times.
Yeah. Is he gonna sing some more?
Yeah. Again, another, you know, another picture that kind of reminds me. I was reminded of a song by David Crowder called "Here Is Our King," which he wrote shortly after the tsunami of, I think 2005. It was just after Christmas 2005 in the Indian Ocean, which killed, you know, over 200,000 people. He was struck by, you know, coming out of Christmas, coming out of the celebration of Christmas, he was struck by the devastation, the power of this, and our need for rescue, to know that God is here and that rescue is coming. And so he wrote this song, and you know, it's a celebration really of the fact that rescue is coming, that we can depend. And during this time on Jesus, this is "Here Is Our King."
He is our King.
images that are in there. And it's amazing, you know, the leading me beside still waters. And, you know, in Israel, sometimes water wasn't easy to come by. And so, you know, finding those creeks that had enough water. And one of the things I was reading about was how the shepherd would go to the creek and kind of put some rocks up there to start letting the water pull so that the sheep could actually have enough water to drink. Reminding me of when I was growing up in Suitland, Maryland as a kid, we would do that. We would go down, not with sheep, of course, but we would go down with down into these creeks, yeah. And we would actually put rocks to dam it up a little bit so that the water would come up so we could play in it. You know, so it brought back that image. But the thing is, he cared so much, and he took the time, and he put these rocks in there and let the water come up so the sheep could drink. And then finding green pastures, springtime, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Summer, not so easy.
Yeah.
So he had to constantly be on the look. And, you know, so God is constantly providing for us, help leading us into these times of refreshing. And then the protection through the difficulty. But then on the other side of the psalm, we have the psalmist, we believe probably King David, who it is.
Right.
He's talking about that God prepares a place for him in a table before him in the presence of his enemies.
Yeah.
So even when he was surrounded by his enemies, he still wasn't alone because God was right there with him and anointing his head, which is a sign of recognition, of setting aside, of refreshing. I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's a cares aspect about that. And then the cup overflowing. It's just God is abundant. He lavishes his, you know, the New Testament talks about God lavishes his love on us. He lavishes his grace on us.
Right.
So there's that aspect too. So you know, going into the psalm, we read how God refreshes us and strengthens us and leads us through that difficult time. And even after we get through there, there's still some difficult times. We have enemies around us.
Sure, yeah.
But God's in the presence of that, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
And one of the things I like his, too, is where he talks about, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me." And, you know, here's King David. He's writing from experiences. He was a shepherd, so he knew what it was like to provide for the sheep.
Sure.
He's king, and he was in the presence of people who sought to do him harm. Right. There was Saul, there was Absalom, there were others. So there were times that he was being pursued by his enemies, but he wasn't really focused on being pursued by his enemies. He was focused on that God pursues him with goodness and mercy.
Absolutely.
And I love that image, you know.
Yeah.
So instead of constantly thinking that we're being dogged by our problems or our trials, we should think that God is right there pursuing us with goodness and mercy.
Yeah. Like in John 4, he talks about, you know, God is pursuing the people who are, he's pursuing the people who are worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Right.
And also, you know, that, you know, just going back, it's like that parallel of, you know, our cup overflowing. Jesus is like offering this living water in that, you know, kind of thing. So it's that,
I just like the image of that whole care. And the fact that it comes out of David's experience.
Right.
And he saw a lot. And so he could testify.
Yeah.
That God is present.
Yeah, God's in it. Yeah, that God is bigger.
That's right.
He's bigger than, you know, like. This is for all the kids out there, all for the kids at heart.
It is.
Yeah,
God is bigger than anything that we face.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. going to dare to, you know, prepare a table in the presence of our enemies?
That's right. Well, let me read one more scripture, because it was one that you mentioned, Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it just says simply this: "For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk." Now you are the light of the world. Lord, rather. Walk as children of light. And, you know, that's one of the challenges that we have now is, you know, the world is scared.
Yeah.
And really, you had a couple more weeks. People are really going to be crazy out there, aren't they?
Yes.
And so we have to speak these words of healing and of calmness. And we're supposed to be living as children of light. And there are some ways that we can do that.
Yes.
And we want to affirm that. Because, you know, we tend to be affected by the sphere that we exist. So once we were in the sphere of darkness, so that's how we live. But now we're in the sphere of light, so that's how we are to live now. So there's a couple things that we can do. First of all, you know, if you're a part of White Marsh Baptist Church, and especially if you're in the Sunday school, one of the Sunday school classes, and you have a church directory, I would pick up the phone and call.
Sure.
And just see how people are doing, especially some of our senior adults. Just call them, see if there's anything that they need. And really, if you find a need, please call our church office. And there's information on the Facebook page that gives you that information. Call a church office or email our church, and we'll respond to that. We're checking the messages all the time. So we will respond to the best that we can. Or just call somebody just to say hello. Don't send them an email or a text. We do that all the time.
Yeah,
that's something a little more personal. Or even write a card and mail it. Maybe you might want to spray Lysol before you put it in the mail. But you can do that. Do something that's a little bit extra special. Or if you have Skype or FaceTime, call people. Maybe there's people you haven't talked to in a long time. Those are really concrete ways that we can show love for one another. Now, plus, be mindful of the people who are out of work. You know, it might be if you're still receiving a salary, you might consider giving a little help to somebody, because this is a real need out there. Just this morning, we're talking about the unemployment applications have skyrocketed.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's going to take a while for other people to have that process. And, you know, most people, maybe you're like this, live paycheck to paycheck, and they don't have anything in reserves. And we want to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think about, you know, even, I think this has made us acutely aware, at least it's kind of made me acutely aware of how we are, even in not times of crisis, you know, in a lot of ways, we are isolated from one another. You know, we come together as White Marsh Baptist Church, you know, on a regular basis, but there are churches all around the country and the city and the world that are doing the same, you know, and, you know, just to think about who we are as, you know, that we are still a community, you know, even in this situation, you know, I know it's, you know, it's not the ideal way for us to worship. We love to get you know, the kind of the feedback that we get when we sing together and raise our voices together. But, you know, even in this time, as we're kind of watching and listening and hearing, you know, we are isolated from one another, but we are community. We're together. You know, I'm reminded, you know, in Italy, how they have, you know, they broadcast the national anthem and everybody goes to their windows and waves and gets out on their balconies and sings together. You know, that we still are our community, you know. And I think that's kind of, even in this point in time, has just kind of helped us realize that we still are community. We still are together. We are not alone. We are still together as a community.
Yeah. So we are told to practice social distancing.
That's right.
Which we're doing with a 6-foot ring
that's right
between us. So that's how we measure that. And but we certainly don't want to be emotionally distancing. And we want to stay emotionally connected with one another.
Absolutely.
Because we're in this together.
We are. And it's going to be a long haul.
It's going to be a long haul.
Yeah.
We got anything else?
Yeah.
One more?
Shall we play one more?
Okay. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being a part of this. John's going to play us out.
Yeah. This is a song just on the thoughts that I was just sharing. You know, is you know, this is the song "He Reigns," which talks about people across our brothers and sisters in Christ, across the country, across the world, together, just being reminded that He reigns, that He is our King, He is our God, and that He reigns.
Anybody that you find that has a need, or if you have a need, please contact our church office. God bless you.